Today, I'm going to give you 8 principles for long-term cultural change.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown, your blessed, joyful, listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Today is the official release of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going and How to Turn the Tide. Copies have been available now for some weeks, but the official release is today, and today is the day you can go to Amazon.com and order the e-edition. The Kindle edition on Amazon is now out today. And in my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, I give you 8 principles of long-term cultural change. And let me say this as plainly as I can. I believe unless Jesus returns first, we will see a cultural change in America. I believe that somehow God will intervene, that there will be awakening in the church, that there will be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, not a revolution of anger, not a revolution of hatred, not a revolution of intimidation, not a revolution, God forbid, of violence, but rather overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming errors with truth, overcoming the power of the flesh with the power of the Spirit. We must have an attitude of victory and faith and confidence. Friends, we are overcomers in Jesus. We are overcomers in the Lord. It is our very nature in Jesus to be more than conquerors. And surely no one is lining us up on the street and beheading us here in America. Maybe some are going to jail for their faith. Maybe some are losing jobs for their faith. Maybe some are being pushed out of programs for their faith, but we're not being beheaded on the streets. Our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world can say to us here in America, be strong and of good courage. God's grace is more than sufficient. I won't be taking calls today. I'm going to be going through over a one-hour period, the 8 principles that I lay out in the book so you can have all of them and understand all of them clearly and be inspired and be encouraged by them. If you miss any part of the broadcast, just go to my website later today, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just click on Latest Broadcast, and you can review these 8 principles. In the second hour of the broadcast today, as the broadcast is going on, there will be a rally in Kentucky for Kim Davis, and she is now in jail for her faith, because she could not violate her conscience and felt that the highest law, the constitutional law, and the law of God prevented her from obeying local judge or federal judge or even the Supreme Court. It's a right time to be talking about these subjects. You say, what can we do, though? Just one person. We can pray. We can pray. It's the mightiest weapon of all, prayer. We can live righteously ourselves. We can all do the right thing, can we not? Parents, educators, workers on your jobs, kids in school, we can all stand up for what's right. And you can do something that will make a difference. Encourage a friend to read Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Trust me, you read the book, your eyes will be open. Trust me, it is a book for such a time as this. Trust me, when you finish the book, you'll be encouraged. And you'll post just like someone else did a little while ago on Facebook, having read the book over the 3-day weekend into today, or into yesterday, Labor Day, and said to me, Mordecai will not bow. In other words, I read the book, my heart is encouraged. And I'll explain that principle to you. So, 8 principles for long-term cultural change. You'll be blessed, you'll be encouraged as we go through the edifying contents of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Give us
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, talking today about 8 principles for long-term cultural change from my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going, and How to Turn the Tide. The book is officially released today, September 8th. It is now available on Kindle. So on Amazon, you can get the ebook as of today. And my request is that you share it with a friend. Just tell them, hey, check out this new book by Michael Brown, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. I believe it's part of a revolutionary process. I believe it's part of sparking moral and cultural revolution in America. It's not time to throw in the towel, friends. It's time to push back. Not hating people, not attacking people, but standing up for what's right and living out what is right. God's ways are always best. In an atheistic country, if they start to live by God's ways, it will improve their country. In a dictatorship, if they start to live by God's ways, it will turn the tide in that country. The same in America. We're not a theocracy. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, any nation. Sin is a reproach to any people, any people. So in Outlasting the Gay Revolution, the introduction is called The Day the Line Was Crossed. And I quote from best-selling author and friend Eric Metaxas, and he said, never in our history has religious freedom been so brazenly defied. A bold red line has been crossed. When the mayor of Houston, lesbian activist mayor Anise Parker, subpoenaed some leading pastors in the city and said, you must turn over to us all of your personal emails and church correspondence and sermons and anything. If there's any mention of homosexual issues or transgender issues, you must turn these over to us. It was an outrageous breach. It went way beyond the law to the point that other leaders, I'm talking about national legal authorities, weighed in. The former city attorney of Houston, Benjamin Hall, weighed in reluctantly. He knew the challenges of the job. And the city attorney of Houston was standing with Mayor Anise Parker. And he said Mayor Parker, along with Attorney Feldman, had gone too far. And he wrote this, pastors have the right to preach their convictions without second thought about city attorneys intruding upon their thought processes or religious convictions. The very request by the city attorneys is reckless. The commissioner of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, Peter Kersenow, wrote an open letter to Mayor Parker accusing her, quote, of an abuse of government power, thus chilling future religiously informed speech. And Eric Metaxas said this, if the church doesn't wake up now and stand and fight, there is no church in America. He said, this is the red line. It has been crossed. When I read about this, I immediately thought, this is right out of my Bonhoeffer book. Right out of my Bonhoeffer book, he said. In other words, the same attack on freedoms of speech and conscience and religion that he saw happen in Nazi Germany, he saw the beginnings of it in America. He said, that's an outrageous comparison. The beginnings. The beginnings. I'm not saying America is Nazi Germany. No, I'm not saying America is going to start suddenly slaughtering Christians or slaughtering Jews. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is an eerie and chilling comparison when you see rights being stripped away in front of people's eyes and they don't even stand up to do something about it. Thankfully, people are waking up. And my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, is a manual. It is a manual to help followers of Jesus and people of conscience and people of faith live by convictions that will bring about long-term cultural change. So in the book, I lay these out. I'm going to go through the contents here. Obviously, it's a 250-page book. To get all the contents, you need to read the book. But I want to give you as much as I can in the course of this 1 hour on the air. Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. A quote that I have shared many times in the last few years in particular. Principle number 1 of the 8, never compromise your convictions. Let me repeat it. Never compromise your convictions. This is where we start. This is where we start. We draw a line in the sand. We pray it through. We think it through. We study it through. We discuss it through. And we come to a resolution. This is where I must stand. I can't be moved. I may lose my job. My family may turn against me. I may lose that promotion. I may not get that pension. I may wind up in jail. It could be worse, but I cannot compromise my convictions. That's what's happened to Kim Davis in Kentucky. That's what happened. As I'm speaking now, people are gathering in Kentucky for a rally on her behalf, led by Governor Mike Huckabee and others, And she's counted the cost. She knew what would be required, and she felt in conscience that she had to do what was right. This is where we start. We are often spineless. We are often weak-willed. We often, it's not so black and white. It's not so clear. And then we end up fudging things. And I know there's a debate, should Kim Davis have just resigned, or is she doing the right thing? And fine, we can have that discussion. That's a fair discussion to have. But there are plenty of things when it is black and white, as it is for Kim Davis now and her own conscience before God, and we can't compromise. Look, Christians around the world have guns put to their head, knives put to their throat. Deny Jesus or die. Deny Jesus or lose your children. Horrific things. We can't imagine. Most of us can't imagine what they've lived through, but it's understood. This is where we start. We draw that line in the sand. Principle number one, never compromise your convictions. This is what Dr. Albert Mohler wrote about the question of same-sex, quote, marriage. For some time now, it has been increasingly clear that every congregation in this nation will be forced to declare itself openly on this issue. That moment of decision and public declaration will come to every Christian believer individually. There will be no place to hide and no place safe from eventual interrogation. The question will be asked, an invitation will be extended, a matter of policy must be decided, and there will be no refuge. What will your answer be? You say, but I'm a nice person. Everybody at my job knows I'm a nice person. So surely when I express my opposition to redefining marriage, when I express my opposition to homosexual practice, they'll all know I'm a nice person. Well, they may think you're a nice person, but many of them will think you're a nice bigot. Listen to what gay activist John Becker said. He is rejecting the idea that tolerance requires that we have a difference about homosexual practice and homosexual relations. That tolerance says there are two ways to look at this, and there's the pro, the con, and we should be open to both ways and just be tolerant. He says, no, our culture doesn't treat other forms of bigotry with respect and tolerance. To the contrary, prejudices like sexism, racism, and anti-Semitism are overwhelmingly regarded with revulsion and scorn because society has rightfully decided that these toxic social evils deserve to be shamed and stigmatized, and that sexists, racists, and anti-Semites no longer deserve a seat at the table of civil discourse. And he said, now the public is increasingly ready to add homophobes to that list. Listen to what Josh Barrow says, writing for the New York Times. Anti-LGBT attitudes, by which he meant opposition to same-sex, quote, marriage and the like, are terrible for people in all sorts of communities. They linger and oppress, and we need to stamp them out ruthlessly. Becker says this. Speaking of Brendan Eich, who is the CEO of Mozilla, and had to step down when there was a protest through the company when it was learned that he donated $1,000 to the pro-marriage campaign in California in 2008, the very campaign that Barack Obama, President Obama, said that marriage was a union of man and woman. And the majority of voters in California said it's a union of a man and woman. Here's a leading internet guy, internet tech guy, who said, yeah, I agree with this. I'm donating $1,000 to support marriage. He had to resign as a result of that when it came out some years later. John Becker says this: if Brendan Eich had donated to a white supremacist or neo-Nazi group, would you make similar pleas for, quote, serious consideration of and, quote, vigorous public debate about the merits of those, quote, dissenting views? Would you work so hard to uphold the fiction that two morally equivalent sides exist on issues like racism and sexism and anti-Semitism? Or is it just homophobic bigotry that deserves this special form of tolerance? Friends, the victims have become the bullies. Principle number one of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution: never compromise your convictions. And when you go through the chapter, you will be shocked as I give you example after example after example after example of an all-out attack on our liberties, an all-out attack on our freedoms, an all-out attack on our conscience, an all-out attack on our religious beliefs. What's the solution? Here's where you start. Never compromise your convictions. The question is not what's it going to cost us. The question is what's right. Paul's words: so then be firm, do not be moved. Always be outstanding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, September 8th, on the official release date of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Some of you have already received your copies, ordered your copies, read the book, even posted reviews, but today's the official release date, and to celebrate that with you, I am going through the 8 principles in the book. 8 principles for long-term cultural change. Let me say it again. If Jesus does not return first, I believe there will be a cultural turn in America. I believe that the church will awaken in many ways and that we will retake much of the moral ground that has been stolen out from under our feet by people who had a different agenda, by people who felt very differently about abortion, by people who felt very differently about radical feminism, by people who felt very differently about the meaning of marriage, by people who felt very differently about homosexual issues and other things like that, by people who were passionate about atheism and all kinds of things that would be a direct assault on our faith. I believe that we will see a turning of the tide here in America by God's grace, and that there will be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. And friends, that's one reason I'm on the radio with you 5 days a week talking about many of these relevant issues. Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where homosexual activism is really going, and how to turn the tide. Principle number one: never compromise your convictions. And for the benefit of those that will not get the whole broadcast, let me give you all the principles now, and then later you can go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and listen to the entire broadcast, the entire 1 hour of teaching. Principle number one: never compromise your convictions. Principle number two: take the highest moral ground. Principle number three: sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy. Principle number four: refuse to redefine marriage. Principle number five: celebrate gender distinctions. Principle number six: keep propagating the truth until the lies are dispelled. Principle number seven: factor in the God factor. Principle number eight: be determined to write the last chapter of the book. In many of these chapters, I not only lay out the path that we must take, but I explain why gay activism has within itself the seeds of self-destruction. Friends, you have no idea the type of attack we're getting simply for putting out a book with this title. How dare you? You guys lost. It's over. You're jokers. You're bigots. You're irrelevant. Nobody's listening to you anymore. It's over. Just the fact that we dare say, it's not over. Of course it's not over. What would be over? Supreme Court makes a horrific decision. Why would we throw in the towel? Culture backslides in many different ways. Why would we throw in the towel? We come under some pressure, may lose a job, may go to jail. Why would we throw in the towel? These things just galvanize us and strengthen us to do what's right. And can I ask a question of all of my gay listeners? Some of you are activists. Some of you are not straight allies of the LGBT community. If the Supreme Court ruled the other way, let's say it was 5-4 ruling in favor of marriage and against redefining marriage, would you have said, oh, we lost, we throw in the towel? Of course not. What do you expect we would? Well, there's an inevitable direction of history. Ah, history has many twists and turns. The way it's turned in the last 20 years was very unexpected to many. Who's to say there won't be other unexpected twists and turns? Principle number two, take the highest moral ground. Paul wrote it, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And his famous words from Dr. King, returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. In this chapter, in principle number two, take the highest moral ground, what I lay out is why we cannot become the haters. Or we're going to be called the haters. We're, of course, going to be called the haters. But we must overcome hatred with love. This is not a war against homosexual men and women. We simply are not willing to redefine marriage. We simply are not willing to normalize homosexual practices. Say you've got heterosexuality, homosexuality, and just lots of different variations of human sexuality. We don't see it like that. We see that there's a norm. We see there's something God intended. And we see things as deviations from that norm or aberrations from that norm. We see it in heterosexualized and homosexualized, many, many aberrations. We are a fallen, broken people. We all need the gospel. We're all created in God's image, all fallen, all needing the blood of Jesus to save us and transform us. We meet commonly in our need at the foot of the cross. If we are going to bring about cultural change, it's not going to be with anger. It's not going to be with hatred. Since God burdened me to deal with these issues beginning 11 years ago, my love for the homosexual community, for those who identify as LGBT, is way off the charts higher than it was before. My sense of burden, my sense of caring, my sense of compassion, my sense of understanding unique needs that they have and the feeling of rejection they'd have from the church, it's acutely beyond where it was before. I do what I do out of love. That's a strange kind of love. I know some are going to look at it like that, but if you get to know me, you'll know my heart. And you'll understand my intent. I'm still going to get blasted as a bigot and a hater. But ultimately, love is going to win. Ultimately, love is going to triumph. And in this principle number two chapter, take the highest moral ground, I expose the real hate groups. The real hate groups are the ones that are targeting the Christians. The real hate groups are the ones that are spreading disinformation about Christians and about moral conservative beliefs. I tell the story of the gay protest that encountered perfect love when protesters came to our church back in 2012, gay protesters, and they left saying they encountered perfect love and called my show to apologize the next day for the protest. That's how we demonstrate the gospel. That's how we demonstrate the gospel. Principle number two, take the highest moral ground. I want to encourage you to be in this for the long haul. I want to encourage you to think in a multi-generational way. See, so many of us are thinking, we're out of here any minute. Jesus is coming soon, and we're out of here any minute. Jesus is coming, you know, and we're out of here. So many of us are thinking like that we're not thinking about our kids. We're not thinking about our grandkids. We're not thinking about multi-generational issues at all. We need to do that. As children of God, we need to do that. As children of God, we need to recognize that we have a responsibility, not just for our generation, but for those who follow us. And Jesus has not come yet in 2,000 years, and he hasn't yet come in my lifetime or your lifetime. That means we have to be thinking multi-generationally. Our oldest granddaughter turns 15 in January. You know, that means 5 years from now, she could theoretically be married. She could be bringing kids into the world in the not-too-distant future. What kind of world are they going to grow up in? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. And outlasting the gay revolution, I lay out where homosexual activism is really going, and I explain how we, God's people, can turn the tide, which also includes an outpouring of the Holy Spirit among those who identify as LGBT, as they will come to meet Jesus in a wonderful and radical way. All right, any part of the broadcast you miss, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, where you can listen to the entire broadcast, 1 hour of teaching on these eight principles. We've covered the first two so far, six more to go. And when you're at the website, check out our special resource offer this week. It's not a typo. It's accurate in price. Take advantage of it. AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Special broadcast today, September 8th, on this day of official release of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. The Kindle ebook available for the first time today on Amazon. So go there, place your order. And once you've read the book, please post a review. We want people to know what the book is really about. The more the book gets out, the more bogus reviews we'll have from non-readers or folks who'll read it but who have an axe to grind that will attack anything with a message like this on the internet. So we just ask, once you've read the book, post a quick review, let others know what you think about it. What I'm doing today is going through the eight principles in the book, eight principles for long-term cultural change. Principle number one, never compromise your convictions. Principle number two, take the highest moral ground. Now, principle number three, sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy. Sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy. In this chapter, I do two things. I demonstrate first how the acceptance, embrace, celebration of homosexuality in our culture today is not primarily the result of greater tolerance. It is the result of lower sexual morality. It is not because we are more tolerant, but because we are less moral sexually. That's why these things are being embraced. I demonstrate that clearly. Polls, data, factual, anecdotal material show clearly. This is all part of a larger culture of sexual anarchy. And then, at the end of the chapter, I explain how sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy. You know what's really wild? If you remember, disgraced NBA owner Donald Sterling ultimately lost his franchise because of racist comments. But nobody seemed to bother with the fact that here's a man married with 50 years who's got a mistress. And Ann Coulter said, I listened to roughly 8 hours of commentary on Donald Sterling and the ugly remarks he made in conversations secretly tape recorded by his girlfriend before I heard anyone mention a wife. Ann Coulter said, what in the world? She said, culture mores certainly do change. In 1947, it was a scandal when Brooklyn Dodgers manager Leo Durocher was alleged to have been having an affair with a married actress, Lorraine Day. Durocher himself was not married. But Day, a Mormon who never smoked or drank, divorced her husband and married Durocher the day after being granted a provisional divorce decree. The divorce wasn't final, so the judge who signed the decree ordered Day and Durocher to live separately in California. This was so long ago, the institution of marriage was still respected in California. And they did. She lived with her mother in Santa Monica, and Durocher moved into a nearby hotel. Yet still, the Catholic Youth Organization withdrew its support for the Brooklyn Dodgers and advised its members to boycott the team as long as Durocher remained manager. And on it goes. Things have shifted dramatically in our culture. You must understand that the same culture celebrating homosexual practice is the same culture with nude dating shows, with polyamorous reality TV shows, with celebrating My Five Wives and the like, and with teen mom TV shows, and with rampant pornography in the society, and on and on. This is the same society embracing homosexual practice, and those who tend to be more moral in all these other sexual and cultural indicators are also more moral when it comes to homosexual issues. But the good news is sexual purity trumps it. And in the end of this chapter, I go to some fascinating studies from the past that indicate when a society falls away from solid marriage and sexuality, it ultimately collapses, but it will be as strong as its solid marriages are. What does that say to you and me? Nancy and I are about to celebrate March of next year, 40 years of marriage. Friends, as our marriages are strong, we can be the last man standing. As our marriages are strong, we can change society around us. That's how we outlast the gay revolution.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the things that's encouraging me most as people are now getting their copies of Outlasting the Gay Revolution and reading it is the word I keep hearing, encouraged, 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 encouraged. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we talk about in the book that's discouraging. But what we show is that is all self-destructive. The things that are wrong and negative are the things that can undermine themselves. The things that are done by God's principles will last forever. This is Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire today. So today, September 8th, is the day of the official release of Outlasting the Gay Revolution. People have been able to purchase copies for some weeks now, but the ebook, the Kindle version, is now available on Amazon, so have at it. And whether you already have the book, whether you're not planning on getting the book, whether you're planning on getting the book later, would you just tell a friend? Friends, this is how we can spread gospel revolution in America. Tell a friend about Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Tell them to check the book out. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Principle number 4, out of the 8 principles laid out in the book, refuse to redefine marriage. Refuse to redefine marriage. I love this quote from Chesterton. Don't ever take a fence down until you know the reason it was put up. Don't ever take a fence down until you know the reason it was put up. There is nothing more important for the long-term stability of a society than healthy marriages and healthy families. Healthy marriages will produce healthy families, which in turn will produce a healthy society. Unhealthy marriages will produce unhealthy families, which in turn will produce an unhealthy society. That's why we dare not tamper with the meaning and purpose of marriage. If we do, we tamper with the foundations of society. One of the points I make is once you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. To repeat, once you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. Terms like mother and father and husband and wife become redefined. Look, in Kentucky, it's been pointed out that on these marriage certificates that the clerk, Kim Davis, has refused to sign, and she is in jail right now for that. What is it, day number 6 or 7 today? The certificates still say male, female. Yeah, or man, woman, or husband, wife, because that's what marriage has always been. Once you redefine it, you render it meaningless. So in principle number 4, I lay out example after example of what happens when you have no-fault divorce, what that brings about. I have a section called Brides and Brooms, Male Wives and Female Husbands. I quote Professor N.T. Wright, considered one of the world's top New Testament scholars. Listen to what he says. When anybody, pressure groups, governments, civilizations, suddenly change the meaning of key words, you really should watch out. If you go to a German dictionary and just open at random, you may well see several German words which have a little square bracket saying NS, meaning National Socialist or Nazi. The Nazis gave these words a certain meaning. Wright says in post-1917 Russia, there were whole categories of people who were called former persons because by the communist diktat, they had ceased to be relevant for the state. And once you call them former persons, it was extremely easy to ship them off somewhere and have them killed. He said, it's like a government voting that blacks should be white. Sorry, you can vote that if you like. You can pass it by a total majority, but it isn't actually going to change the reality. Look, I pointed this out in 2013, and I cite it in the chapter Refuse to Redefine Marriage. As England moves towards redefining marriage, the Daily Telegraph reports that, quote, the word husband will in future be applied to women, and the word wife will refer to men, the government has decided. According to John Bingham, civil servants have overruled the Oxford English Dictionary in hundreds of years of common usage, effectively abolishing the traditional meaning of the words for spouses. But friends, it's not just the traditional meaning, it's the meaning. To say that the sky is blue. Well, that's the traditional meaning of the word sky and the traditional meaning of the word blue. No, it is the sky, and the sky is blue. Oh, boy. But this is where we go. So a man could be a wife if married to another man or not, while a woman could be a husband if married to another woman or not. All of which begs the question, why use words at all if they've utterly lost their meaning? It's like saying that up is down or up, and down is up or down, while north is south or north, and south is north or south. But this is what happens when marriage is redefined. I give example after example. Why not marry yourself? What's wrong with three? Marriage equality for all and the right to incest. What? Yeah, people are talking about the right to consensual adult incest. I even give examples of the media's celebration of incest and on, which begs the question, what then is marriage? What then is marriage? That's why we refuse to redefine it. We refuse to redefine it. And listen to what Alexis de Tocqueville had to say in his famous book, Democracy in America. French statesman, historian, social philosopher, visited America for a period of months and came back with these observations about America in the 1830s. America is certainly the country where the bonds of marriage are most respected and where the concept of conjugal bliss has its highest and truest expression. In Europe, almost all social disorder stems from disturbances at home and not far removed from the marriage bed. These men come to feel scorn for natural ties and legitimate pleasures. There they develop a liking for disorder, a restless spirit, and fluctuating desires. The American draws the love of order from his home, which he then carries over into his affairs of state. What does it mean? Solid and stable marriages make for solid and stable families, which in turn make for solid and stable communities, resulting in a solid and stable nation. Let us give ourselves to the task of rebuilding America, one family, one marriage at a time. If enough of us do it together with the help of God, we could spark a whole new revolution. That's part of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. All right, let me keep moving. Principle number five, celebrate gender distinctions. Here's a transgender model, Carmen Carrera, born Christopher Roman. I am Adam. I am Eve. I am me. Need I say more than the words Caitlyn Jenner? I was looking at an article discussing this new push to use gender-neutral pronouns instead of he and her, say Z and Zer. And someone wrote an article on it, and it had a very clever title. I wrote one called Zis is what I call social madness, something like this. But what's the title of this one here? Let me see if I can find it. I think it's something like, in the beginning, God created Zim and Zer, or something like that, just saying, come on, what in the world? Yeah, there it is. Z and Zer, he created them. Probably should have said Z and Zer, he created Zem, right? Once you start to say gender is whatever you perceive it to be, once you say, well, I perceive I'm male, I perceive I'm female, I perceive I'm both, I perceive I'm neither, it switches from day to day. Is there anything more foundational than gender distinctions in our society? Anything more foundational than the fact that there are men and women? Anything more foundational that we are made for each other biologically and that there are distinct differences between us in many, many ways? How many of you shortly into your marriage realize, wow, men are really different. Wow, women are really different. God brought us together for those very purposes, two same but different, coming together as one. But how far does this go? People want to push beyond the gender binary. I ask in my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, does tolerance require social insanity? And I cite actual quotes where people have declared war on gender. That's why what we have to do is celebrate gender distinctions. What we have to do is determine to embrace the beauty of manhood and the beauty of womanhood, not in some stereotyped way, but in a way that recognizes differences, that recognizes distinctions, that is not going the way of gender blindness, gender blurring, gender madness, war on gender. God made us male and female. The natural family is the ideal place for a child to be nurtured and raised. Daughters mentored by their mothers, sons mentored by their fathers, with both mom and dad uniting to set an example for their children. It's a beautiful picture. So what I'm urging is that we get back to the basics, that we recover our foundations for marriage, for family. Gay activism has within itself the seeds of self-destruction. Those who once victims have become bullies. That is self-defeating. When you redefine marriage, you make it meaningless. When you declare war on gender, you declare war on the foundations of society and what basically makes the world go around. These things cannot be sustained long term, which is why I say if Jesus doesn't come first, we will live to see a radical change come to America. If not us, then our kids, then our grandkids. We will see change. I'll repeat, this is how we outlast the gay revolution. We'll be right back with the last principles from the book.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. I hope you've been edified and helped as we've gone through so far five of the eight principles in my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Today's the official release date. That means you can go to Amazon and order the Kindle version. Many of you have been waiting for the ebook. It's available today. And if you love this broadcast, if you're helped by the broadcast, if you appreciate the ministry work we're doing, tell someone about this book. I wrote it for such a time as this to help spark a national moral and cultural revolution, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Principle number one, never compromise your convictions. Principle number two, take the highest moral ground. Number three, sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy. Number four, refuse to redefine marriage. Number five, celebrate gender distinctions. Number six, keep propagating the truth until the lies are dispelled. George Orwell once wrote, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So in this chapter, principle number six, keep propagating the truth until the lies are dispelled, I ask, what if it turns out that America has been conned? What if we discover that an entire movement, a revolution, has been built on lies, exaggerations, and deception? What if we learn that we've been duped by the mainstream media and deceived by the propagandizing press? As author Robert Riley noted, illusions ultimately lead to disillusion. Reality always wins. Here, listen to this. Leading gay activists, late 1980s, this was their strategy. They put it in writing. How are they going to change public opinion about homosexuality? They called for, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Would you say that it has succeeded? According to the Centers for Disease Control, the massive national survey included these questions. July 2014, they released this report. Less than 3% of the U.S. population identify themselves as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. To be exact, 1.6% of adults self-identify as gay or lesbian, and 0.7% consider themselves bisexual. All right? So that's a total of what, 2.3%, which is less than 1 in 40 people, say they're lesbian, gay, or bisexual, and 1.6%, less than 1 in 50, say exclusively they are gay or lesbian. When Americans were asked this in a Gallup poll in 2011, U.S. adults estimated that 25% of Americans were gay or lesbian. So 1 in 4, as opposed to less than 1 in 50. How in the world would that happen? Younger people thought it was about 30%. What? The propaganda has worked. So what do? We keep spreading the truth until the lies are exposed. We keep spreading the truth until the lies are exposed. I address some of the biggest, most fundamental lies that have advanced gay activism in the society, one after another after another. In this chapter, it's an eye-opener. And then say, hey, just stay with it, because a house built on lies will collapse. Principle number 7, factor in the God factor. In this chapter, I explain how there have been times in our history before where it looked like it was all over. Times in our history where it looked like church had backslidden too far. Culture had turned too far. There was no turning back. There's a quote that revival scholar James Edwin Orr once cited. Orr died in 1987. It was Supreme Court Chief Justice John Marshall writing to Bishop Madison of Virginia in the early 1800s, quote, "The church is too far gone ever to be redeemed." I have examples of shocking things that happened in history that you say there's no returning from it, but change came. Here, April 8th, 1966, cover of Time magazine. First time they didn't have a picture, it was just text-based. Cover of Time magazine, April 8th, 1966. It is red on black lettering. Is God dead? Is God dead? April 8th, 1966. Fast forward 5 years and a couple months later. June 21st, 1971. Time, another cover story. Here's a hippie-like looking Jesus on the front cover with the caption, "The Jesus Revolution." And it's an amazing article. Time magazine, 1971, just 5 years after the headline story, the cover story, "Is God Dead?" Jesus is alive and well and living in the radical spiritual fervor of a growing number of young Americans who have proclaimed an extraordinary religious revolution in his name. Their message, the Bible, is true. Miracles happen. God really did so love the world that he gave it his only begotten son. In 1966, Beatle John Lennon casually remarked that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. Now the Beatles are shattered. George Harrison is singing "My Sweet Lord." The new young followers of Jesus listen to Harrison, but they turn on only to the words of their master. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." It's an amazing story about what happened, friends. God can turn the tide again. I believe he will here in America, and he's going to work through you and me. Principle number 8, be determined to write the last chapter of the book. Be determined to write the last chapter of the book. Eric Erickson said this, "One thing is for sure, a faith that survived its followers being used as torches to light the streets of Rome will survive a modern age hell-bent on ruthlessly stamping it out." I give solid reasons for hope throughout the book, but especially in the last chapter of the book, principle number 8, be determined to write the last chapter of the book. What we have to say is we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stand for what's right. We're not going anywhere. We're going to honor Jesus. We're not going anywhere. We're going to live by the scriptures. We're not going anywhere. We're believing God for awakening and turning. Andrew Walker wrote this in First Things. He said, "If I were writing The Art of Cultural War, this is the strategy I'd use to bring the opposing side to heel. The steps look something like this. Relativize the controversial moral, social, spiritual issue with other issues. Be uncertain about the issue. Refuse to speak publicly on the issue. Be indifferent toward the issue. Accept the issue. Affirm the issue. Require the issue." He said, with that, the cultural flip-flop is complete. For Walker, though, the church that starts down this path quickly becomes a church in retreat. He said, a church in retreat doesn't give answers. It doesn't storm the gates of hell. It settles and makes peace where there is no peace. He said, the good news is that the truth of Christianity outlasts the untruths of man's applause. So whether we win or lose in the short term, we ultimately win in the long term. All right, the book is out. You can get the ebook now on Amazon, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going, How to Turn the Tide. Spread the word. Tell people, be encouraged, have hope, get this book, and it will help ignite a moral and cultural revolution to the honor of God's name and to the good of America right here. Whatever part of the broadcast you missed, go to AskDrBrown.org to catch the entire broadcast. Check out our resource offer while you're there. My bottom line today, God's ways will stand. God's ways will last. The gates of hell will come against the church, but will not overcome.